You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company. Ahead of a couple of events this week, we've got the British Masters on the European Tour and the CIMB Classic on the PGA Tour. Dave Kellner in the company, as ever, of Dave Tindall here in the William Hill studio. Dave, first of all, good morning to you. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you, sir.
It was heartbreaking last week. I went to bed with Brant Snedeker.
You went to bed with Brant Snedeker? I'm certainly not doing that now.
Five clear in the Safeway Open. He had the tournament in the palm of his hand. But you know when you sort of wake up. I woke up like at 2:30 in the morning and just thought, I'll just have a check to see how many he won by. And I was astonished to see that he'd been beaten in a playoff by Kevin Tway and Ryan Moore. Did you watch the closing nine on Sunday night or not?
Well, I was working on William Hill In Play Radio on the Sunday night, and I saw Snedeker touch 2-9, and it was hard to sort of recommend any sort of bet because it just seemed he was coasting to victory. When I got home, I saw he'd made a bogey, and then I turned it on and I could see he had a bit of the lefts going. He was sort of flipping his wrist a bit and it was going left. I think when I sort of, you know, when you think this is going the wrong way, so I sort of went to bed thinking I can see this just being pear-shaped.
I just thought with that, even when you're thinking about it from that perspective, with those closing three holes, you know you've got two par fives.
Well, that was the sort of slight hope, but he collapsed, and we've not seen a collapse like that since about 5 hours earlier when Tyrrell Hatton did it. It can happen, can't it, in golf? So
it can happen. He looked to be cruising to his third consecutive title on the links, but capitulated on the back nine, and Lucas Beauregard stepped in. A well-deserved win for the Dane in the Alfred Dunhill Championship. He'd been in very, very consistent form, Beauregard, and even though he had limited tournament form, it wasn't a bolt from the blue by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it was definite hashtag team current form, wasn't it, for Beauregard last week? I mean, earlier in the season, he'd had four top sixes in the space of five starts, and then he had a little breather over the links, which sort of put me off him because his breather did come in the Scottish and Irish Opens. Mm. I thought maybe that's not his thing. But going into that, he'd had three top tens and a 20th, and then he just kept it going. And maybe ultimately that the Ryder Cup angle, whether Hatton would be tired a little, maybe it just kicked in right at the death.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly. It's difficult to know for certain, isn't it? But yeah, that could be a reason for that.
But if you backed Hatton and Snedeker last week, you'd be going.
Well, I was thinking a lot of people. Well, not a lot of people, but a few people could have had
the double.
Conceivably, have had the double last week. Definitely Hatton into Snedeker. Both had very, very solid credentials, didn't they? And both priced around
big
about
on.
20-1.
Yeah, and big odds on
under.
In,
yeah,
in
big
running.
Odds on him running. Yeah.
So yeah, that's golf.
It is.
Would have been other people on the other side. I think who would have backed the other two winners.
I suppose so. Shall we leave that behind us and focus on this week? Let's move on. We've got the British Masters, first of all, the Sky Sports British Masters 2018. And the latest betting sees Justin Rose at the top of the market at 7-1. Francesco Molinari is 8-1. Tommy Fleetwood is in the betting at 10-1. Torbjörn Olesen is 20s. Matthew Fitzpatrick, 22. Shane Lowry, 22-1. 25-1 for last week's winner, Lucas Beauregard, and it is bigger the rest of them. This is an event, Dave, that has been revitalised in recent years with the introduction of a tournament host. Started with Ian Poulter when he hosted at Woburn in 2015. Matt Fitzpatrick won that year. And since then, it's gathered momentum as an event with Luke Donald and Lee Westwood taking the reins the last couple of years. And this time it's the turn of Justin Rose. And this is a nomadic event as well. And it's going to be hosted by Walton Heath Golf Club this year. Tell us a little bit about the course and how you think it's going to play.
Yeah, it's one of those ones in Surrey where you need to be absolutely minted to play it, and you or I will never, ever set foot on it. Anyway, I get that off my chest. No, it's a classic. I mean, I think the main thing for bettors this week is that it hosts US Open qualifying.
Yeah.
So you think, oh, right, new course, we've not got anything. Well, we have. We've got quite a lot of it. So that is quite an angle in, and I'm going to certainly use that as a basis for a couple of my picks this week, because every year it stages that. So I trawled through the sort of back catalogue and saw quite a few players pop up a few, you know, in several years qualified. I mean,
you've put quite a lot of stock in that then, Dev.
Yeah, I think it's sort of, you've got to have other things as well, but I think players who keep going there and qualifying, they clearly must like the course.
Yeah.
There's a few maybe qualify once and then don't three other times. You're thinking maybe they just had a good week. But I think those who go there and keep doing well there, I think it's quite a nice angle. I mean, it's a Heathland course. I think a few people say it's got links sort of qualities to it as well.
Yeah, quite deep bunkers and deep bunkers, thick heather.
Yeah, so you've got to drive it nicely. A real old classic course. You can, there's kind of bump and run options as well there. You know, it's quite hard springy turf that it's played on, so I think past course formula is quite a nice pointer.
Yeah, as you pointed out in your Roto World piece, you've gone through the stats from those last three years of US Open qualifying. I've got a couple of picks in the event as well. I don't think I'll be interested to see how scoring is as well, because it's been quite low scoring this event the last couple of years. I just wonder whether this is going to provide a sterner test in what is supposed to be quite windy conditions the first couple of days as well.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, in those 36 old qualifiers, you see maybe like minus 12 win the day. I mean, I think about 112 players enter it and only 14 go through, so it's not like, you know, half of them are qualifying, so it's quite a good standard.
Yeah, and rumours emanating in the early part of the week suggest the fairways have been a little bit burnt out by the very hot summer, but the greens are in absolutely perfect condition, which is what you want.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. They're quite big greens there, quite subtle breaks in them, so...
Have you been before? Just to have a wander around, not a play?
No, I haven't got a friend who's got a £30,000 membership or something. I played one of those down there that way, actually. There's quite a few of them. You sort of do classic Surrey courses, and that's one of them. Wentworth comes up as one of them, so that's another maybe angle in Wentworth.
Yep.
There's the Wisley as well, which is where Francesco Molinari plays. I sort of vaguely know Dennis Pugh, so I messaged him on Twitter and said, does Frankie practice loads at Walton Heath? And he said, I'm not sure he's ever played there.
Oh, okay.
But,
yeah, because it is on his doorstep, isn't it, basically?
But he practiced at the Wisley, but there'll be some similarities, I guess.
I think all these courses down south have similar attributes, don't they? I've got a couple of picks for this week.
Yes, me too.
Okay. Do you want to lead off? Or do you want me to lead off?
Do you reckon we'll have the same?
I've got a couple of picks that tie in with a little bit of Walton Heath US Open course form, but mine are at pretty big prices.
Yeah.
Okay, shall I go first?
We're going to pick the same one, aren't we?
Well, Lee Slattery is my pick.
It was on my sort of 10-man list of possibles. You go then with him.
Yeah, he's only 100-1, so I'd actually wait until Wednesday morning if you are following me in with this pick, because I think sometimes our compilers tend to have and you look at the events on Wednesday morning and some of the prices get shunted out, and I think this is one that could go a little bit bigger. But I think he's pretty solid at three figures. Just been in very good form with two top tens in his last five tournaments and closed with a respectable 70 for a tie for 20th in the Alfred Dunhill last week. He actually ranked first for greens in regulation last week, Slattery, so his long game is clearly in decent enough shape to contend at the moment. And he's got decent, if unspectacular, tournament form as well, with three made cuts since this tournament was resurrected in 2015. He's finished 22nd, 12th and 31st. And he's got a little bit of course form to lean on as well, with a third place to qualify for the US Open at Walton Heath 2 years ago. I think he could go well at a big price. So Slattery, Lee Slattery, the Englishman, is my opening pick here at 100-1.
Yeah, very good. I'm going to go with Beef Andrew Johnston.
He's got the best Walton Heath form, hasn't he?
He's kind of the ultimate Walton Heath player. He's played there the last three US Open qualifiers and made it through all three, and in some style, I might add. He actually topped qualifying last time alongside James Morris, another Englishman, with minus 10. Got through again with minus 10 the year before, and he got through with minus 4 a few years ago, but that was actually tied 4th, so it's not like he's nicking the final spot in a 55-man playoff. He's really doing it properly. And obviously, he's from down south, and I think his home course is in Middlesex, or it's in Middlesex. It's a course where you need to hit it straight, so he does that well. He won at Valderrama, which shows he likes that kind of course where, you know, good tee to green hitting works out. He's not in amazing form, but last five starts he's got a 10th and a couple of top 30s, so that'll do. I just think on this particular course, I think we will see the very best of him. When he won qualifying earlier this summer, I think he just got back from the Italian Open the night before, so it was all a bit of a rush. So to still go there and blast out 36 and qualify, I just think this is very much his land, and he'll get massive support, won't he, from the English fans.
He talks about that in press conferences, how much he loves playing in front of the English fans.
And he's playing in that thingy, that warm-up, knockabout, whatever it
is. I've not even looked at that. What is that?
I don't know. I don't even know.
I've no idea.
It's about Rose is playing them. Yeah. It's just sort of a bit of a...
We are betting on that, I think.
Are we?
I think so, yeah.
What's it even called?
The Hero Challenge 2018 at Canary Wharf.
Yes. So it's Rose, Matt Wallace, Ollison Dunn, last year's winner, and Beef and Thomas Bjorn.
Yeah.
So it's just sort of light-hearted, you know, to advertise the tournament, really. So that should feed his energy as well. All good.
Yeah. Okay. 66-1 he is.
Yeah, I thought that was a decent price.
Andrew Johnston. I'm going with a 66-1 shot as my second pick.
So am I. It's going to be the same one.
Brandon Stone?
Yes, it is.
Okay, there you go. I think he's the player in the field that, in my opinion, is the most overpriced this week.
Yeah.
Brandon Stone. His recent win came in Scotland, which I think is a definite positive. He's backed that performance up with a tie for 12th in the USPGA Championship, mm-hmm. which is top class form, and followed that with another top 10 on these shores in the Alfred Dunhill Links. I think he's just underrated. And
if Walton Heath's, a few people saying it plays a bit linksy, then he's got that form in the Scottish Open where he shot a 60 to win that, and Alfred Dunhill Links. I think that's a nice...
And I don't think he'll be inconvenienced if it's windy in the first couple of rounds as well, being a South African. They grow up playing in the wind, don't they? So I think that won't be a disadvantage for him. And he's got that interesting course form in addition with him qualifying for the US Open at Walton Heath last year. It's pretty simple reasoning for this pick, but I thought 66-1 was definitely a shade on the large side for Brandon Stone, a recent winner.
Yeah, he shot 68-66 at Walton Heath in qualifying in 2017. I mean, he's ranked 14th on the race to Dubai, so he's a serious player. I don't know what the perception is of him. I think a couple of years ago, people thought, oh, he's going to be brilliant. And then he just sort of vanished, and you think, is he one of these who, you know, burns bright and then just goes away?
Weirdly, even though he won with that round of 60 in the fourth round, his stock has fallen in the eyes of many.
I think people thought that was a fluke and have paid no attention to him since then, but he's played well since then. Even before last week's 10th place in the Alfred Dunhill Links, he went back home and had another top 10. So he's got a nice... I think he's building towards something big again.
Yeah, I do. I like the price at 66-1, so I'll play him a point each way on Brandon Stone.
Yeah, me too.
Others worthy of mention, I looked at a couple of youngsters. Marcus Kinholt, I thought, would go well. Thomas Dietrich and... Houghton Lee has been
I think he's
well found in the market now at 28th, but he's the one he's sort of primed, isn't he?
I went to look at him first because he qualified there as well, didn't he? And he went there to play a practice round recently and was on Twitter posting it.
I think there was some early 40s and 50s around Houghton Lee, but 28th is shared skinny now.
And obviously we've seen him Played well in England before. Got that amazing third place, didn't he, in the Open at Birkdale. So he's definitely one. I thought Søren Kjelsen might go well. He lives in Surrey. He's one of these whose name pops up when you're thinking about Wentworth, where you need to hit it straight and everything like that.
Yeah, he's 50-1.
Yeah, so he could go well. Tom Lewis is in great form at the minute. Englishman playing on home soil again. I thought he could have another big week. Played well in Scotland as well.
Padraig Arrington.
Yeah, he was revitalised.
He's revitalised. He's got three top tens in his last four starts now, hasn't he, Harrington?
I was fairly close to putting up Matt Wallace, I have to say, at 33, because he's qualified for the US Open twice last 2 years by playing well at Walton Heath.
Do you think he's the real deal, Matt Wallace, or do you think he's just gone through a ridiculously solid purple patch? What's your gut feeling?
I'm not quite sure, but I think we're still in the realms of that purple patch, so it's not like we're a year on thinking, is he valid? I think we're still very close to his last win, so maybe he's ride him out this year and see where he lands. But I thought 33 is maybe isn't quite acknowledging how well he's done, given the fact that he's still doing it.
And very quick word on the top end of the market before we move on to the other event. Rose, 7s, Molinari, 8s, Fleetwood, 10s, Ollison, 20s.
Yeah, I mean, I had a look at how the tournament hosts had got on, and it's a bit of a mixed bag. Poulter was 33rd at Woburn. You might have expected a bit better than that. Donald missed the cut, but then he's been shocking form for ages at the Grove. And Westwood sort of nearly blew a hole in that theory that you opposed them when he was 15th in the end, but I think he was right up there, wasn't he, for a while. So I think Rose is on a different level to all those three. So
it's whether you'd expect him to perform.
Yeah, it's whether, you know, Seven's, given that he might just be a bit distracted, is a tad short.
Okay.
But I expect something good from him, top 10. Maybe Molinari's the one to beat, is he? Do you think?
Possibly. I do think Ollison might go well.
Yeah,
I think
at least he's something in his 20s.
Yeah, beating Spieth in the Sunday singles.
He lives in London as well, Ollison. Maybe that isn't that well known. People might think he lives in Dubai or something.
Yeah.
But he lives in London, so sleeping in his own bed and all that. Mm.
Okay, let's move on to the other event, the CIMB Classic. Justin Thomas back in Malaysia this week. He's 5-1 to win the event for a third time. Ryan Moore is 12-1. He's looking for a third win at this golf course in this event as well. Billy Horschel is 14. Xander Schauffele is 16-1. Paul Casey, 18-1. It's 20-1 Gary Woodland and Mark Leishman. 25-1 Brant Snedeker with Keegan Bradley. And 28-1 and bigger the remainder. We've got a real Far East swing on the PGA Tour nowadays with this event in Malaysia, followed by the CJ Cup in South Korea, and then the WGC in China as well. This course, the TPC Kuala Lumpur, has seen a fair bit of tournament golf in recent times as well, having played host for the Maybank Malaysia Open on the European Tour for three consecutive years. I think that was 2013 to 2015, I think. And it's hosted this championship as well for the last 5 or 6 years now. And it's been a walkover for these players. Justin Thomas won back-to-back, recording wins in scores of 26 under par and 23 under par, while Pat Perez won with 24 under last year. And it's a golf course that only measures 7,000 yards and plays to a par of 72. And if anything, it's got easier as the years have progressed from when Ryan Moore won it 4 and 5 years ago to when Justin Thomas has won it the last two of the last 3 years and Pat Perez last year. It's the par fives are easier than ever, and it is just an absolute breeze for these players.
Yeah, I mean, it's normally helped as well by the fact that it normally rains heavily and then you're playing lift clean and play, so it's becomes a bit of target golf, doesn't it?
And I think that's going to be the case this year from everything I've read.
Yeah, suggests, more of the same. There is a change this year. They've changed the greens. They were that Paspalum grass. They're now a Tiff Eagle Bermuda, which they use at Sawgrass. So that could be a slight weigh-in for you there.
It is for me.
You're leaning on that heavily. Yeah.
Not heavily, but it is, it's a factor.
So you've got to think you've got to go low here. this week.
Yeah,
what do you think? Minus 20s again?
I think definitely. Yeah. I'd be amazed if it's anything less than minus 25.
Right.
I think the change in the grass might make it even easier.
The
green, if that's possible.
Greens are going to roll faster.
Yeah, so but maybe that you're not going to be able to put as aggressively perhaps.
Maybe, yeah.
I think it's going to be 20 deep at least, though.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of picks.
I've just got the one.
Okay, I'll lead off then.
Yeah.
Xander Schauffele is my selection at 16-1, so I'm taking one from the top end of the market here. I just love him around this venue, and as you've mentioned already on the podcast, the grass now shares distinct similarities with TPC Sawgrass, and Xander Schauffele finished in a tie for second in that this year, and he's recently bounced right back to form with a tie for third at Aronimink, followed by a tie for seventh in the Tour Championship, and he can get hot, Schauffele, as well. Last year he came into this with that win at East Lake and then finished in a tie for third in this event, the CIMB Classic, and we've seen with those results in major tournaments he's a big time player, and it's only a matter of time before he wins again. I'd expect him to be in the shake-up at the very least, Xander Schauffele, and I think he's a rock solid each way bet.
Yeah, I like it. Just as we were speaking there, as if on cue about the course, I got my an email from the Asian Tour.
Oh, right, okay.
Where they've interviewed Afi Barnrat, and he said, "The greens are fantastic. I think it's the first time I see the ball roll out on the fairways. The fairways will be more difficult because it's going to roll off them, because previously it just stops. The greens are firmer, faster, and there's a lot of slope on the greens, and I'm sure you're going to hole less putts," he says.
All right, okay. So maybe
there's something in that.
Yeah, maybe scoring won't be as low then as anticipated.
We'll see.
That will be interesting because I have this down as a real target golf, so
yeah,
it will be intriguing to see on that first morning's play if the fairways are rolling out like Appy Barnrat suggests.
Yeah. Although, where do you stand on... I had a chat with Steve Rawlins about this on Twitter. Where do you stand on player quotes? He says he takes them with a pinch of salt.
Yeah, to be honest, I do.
I sort of use them a bit.
Yeah, I'm probably somewhere in between the two of you, to be honest. But I think when it comes to how a player is performing, I tend to take that with a pinch of salt. Because
they always think they're close, don't they?
Yeah, exactly that.
Specifically,
when it comes to course conditions, I think it's a little bit different. Because there's no need to really... make anything up from that perspective.
Although sometimes that's the area where I become a non-believer, because you see stuff like, you've got to hit the fairways.
Yeah.
And do you really? Are you sure about that? Because all the evidence suggests, like in US Opens, and they just sort of trot it out, and it's sort of, you can see what they're coming from, because you need control to hold the... But I never quite buy it. But now, I was saying last week, Mickelson was leading, and I think I've put on Twitter, I think he's like the lay of the century because how bad he's been playing. And he actually said after his first round, he couldn't believe where he was. Don't be fooled.
I must admit, I thought it was astonishing that he was tied for the lead after 36 holes. I know it's a weak event with lesser players up towards the top of the betting. But the way he blasted it around Le Golf National, I thought there's no way he's going to contend the following week.
I know, this is more of his thing. But
it is more of his thing.
Thinking, no way is he doing that for four rounds.
On the West Coast, on Poana, where historically he's got such a strong record. And it was the case that often in the years of his successors, you could just back him without thinking about it on the West Coast.
But I sort of had a look at his form there now, and it's become slightly moribund, doesn't it? That theory that you just blindly back him in California. Because I think I looked, he's not won there since 2012. So it's like 6 years now.
Yeah,
I mean, he's had some good finishes, but he's got one win in California since 2009. So it's a bit of a
dated theory.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Nicely put, yes.
Yeah.
Where were we anyway?
We were getting onto your selection.
Oh yes, I'm going to go with Cameron Smith.
Oh, he's my other pick.
Right, okay, yeah.
I put him up in the one of the FedEx Cup playoff events at a similar price to this, which looks like a poor decision in hindsight because he's the same price in a much weaker field this week at 33.
33-1. He was kind of the poster boy, wasn't he, of the early events on the FedEx Cup. Third in the Northern Trust and the Dell Technologies. It kind of ran out of steam a bit over the last two, but so be it. But he's going back to Kuala Lumpur this time. He's played this CIMB Classic, or SIMB Classic, as I say, and come fifth last year and fifth in 2014. So two of his three efforts there have been tied fifths. Last year, he shot bookend 64s, so he can go low on this course. It's always humid there. He's on record as saying, I'm from Queensland, which is like probably the hottest bit of, well, unless you go to Ayers Rock, but it's a very hot part of Australia. So he can sort of cope with that. And I actually think the change in the grass will help him this time, because if it's a bit firmer and faster, I always think Aussies, that's their thing, isn't it? I think that might help him even more. So I thought 33s really did stand out there for Cameron Smith.
Anything
to add?
No, nothing to add, really. Yeah. He had been in very good form before his last couple of events, where he just cooled down slightly. I think that break might have done him the world of good. And I just expect big things from Cameron Smith in the next 12 months. So I thought 33-1 in this field was more than fair. Any others?
Nothing really else floated my boat, to be honest.
Were you tempted by the tournament favourite, Justin Thomas?
I might have been put off by people trying to win a tournament for the third time, like Hatton maybe, I don't know, and Brendan Steele made a mess of it. He could win, but I think I can let him go at fives.
Yeah, I must admit, I looked at CT Pan. I thought he would go well this week, and he's 40-1. He finished tied second at the Wyndham, backed that performance up with a tie for fourth at the Dell Technologies Championship. I think he's just trending in the right direction, so to speak. And 40-1, I thought, was fair on CT Pan.
What did you think of Thomas Peters as just someone who, at his very best, could well outrun that price?
66. Yeah, because I think if this event was played 6 weeks ago,
yes,
he'd be nothing like 66-1 in this field. So I can see where you're coming from.
And he's played it a few times. He played the Malaysian Open there, was eighth in 2014 after starting with a 75, 16th the year after in that. And even though he is one effort in this SIMB Classic, 44th, he opened 68-67, so he's well up there at halfway. So I think I wonder what he was thinking, penny for his thoughts when he was watching the Ryder Cup. Was he thinking, I want to get back on it, or was he sort of sulking a bit?
Yeah, that would be...
And, like, hurling his putter across the room.
I think if he wins this week, everyone will be referencing him missing out in the Ryder Cup as a catalyst.
And he might say something like, I watched it, I want to get back on that team.
A catalyst for success here, perhaps. That just about wraps us up, doesn't it, Mr. Tindall?
Yeah, I think so.
Have you got a player you don't want to win this week? I know this is a feature that I often forget about.
I suppose if Thomas wins, we'd go. I think maybe Ryan Moore's in that camp as well, because he obviously made a playoff last week, two-time winner, but 12s, I couldn't get involved, really.
Yeah, I think mine would definitely be Hao Tong Lee this week.
Yeah,
28-1, been stopped by the prize more than anything.
Yeah.
I think if we'd been recording this on Monday afternoon, for instance, when he was a much juicier price, he might have been in my thoughts at 40-1 or something like that. But yeah, I wouldn't want to see him in the winner's enclosure, so to speak, this week.
Yeah, maybe Molinari as well. Any of the sort of Ryder Cuppers who do well. I think that was a theory, wasn't it? How do players play well after the Ryder Cup? All four who played Alfred Dunn Links made the top 10. Mm. So, I mean, they're the best players, aren't they? So you can maybe overthink it, think, oh, are they going to be tired? Maybe not at all.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened to the podcast, even those that took gleeful delight in Brant Snedeker failing to convert on Sunday night, as one Twitter correspondent did. Even thanks to you for listening to this podcast.
He keeps listening, though, so that's nice. Hello.
That's nice. If you want to follow us both on Twitter, you can do. It's at Dave Tindall Golf and at D Kellner. Let's just recap the selections for this week, starting with yours, Dave.
Yeah, so in the British Masters at Walton Heath, I'm going to go a point each way on Andrew Beef Johnston at 66, and also a point each way, Brandon Stone at 66.
I'm going to go a point each way on Brandon Stone, joining you there at 66-1, and just half a point each way on Lee Slattery at 100-1, but do wait until Wednesday. Yeah. His price might drift, hopefully. And in the...
CIMB Classic, I'm going to go for Cameron Smith, a point and a half each way at 33s.
Oh, confident. I'm going a point each way Cameron Smith at 33s and a point each way Xander Schauffele at 16-1. Thank you again, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. You can access all William Hill's podcasts at audioboom.com. Make sure you check out the betting on the website, sports.williamhill.com, and on the app ahead of the Sky Sports British Masters 2018 and the CIMB or SIMB Classic on the PGA Tour. Myself and Dave, we will be back next week. If you're having a bet, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.